KC Sparky, 5 or 1250 AM, The Fan, 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout, brought to you by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Bet on all your favorite sports 24-7. Enjoy over 70 self-service kiosks, wall-to-wall TVs, free parking, great food, and a full bar. Bet big, bet bold. Learn more at paysbig.com. Being joined now by my guy Tim Mumma, BrewerFanatic.com. And Tim, always a pleasure to have you on. And the Brewers make a huge trade. Corbin Burnes getting dealt to the Baltimore Orioles for Joey Ortiz, DL Hall, and a first-round pick in the upcoming draft this season, which would be number 34. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on this one, because you and I went back and forth about trading Corbin Burnes or trading Willy Adames and so forth. Your thoughts now that the first bomb has been dropped by the Brewers, still waiting on Willy Adames.
I mean, the first thought was just surprise, and not because they traded Burnes, but I think after the Rhys Hoskins signing and how late we are into the offseason, it didn't feel like it was going to happen, which, okay, fine. Then they might be one of the favorites still in the NL Central to win that division, and you move from there. Then the trade drops yesterday. I was actually throwing some BP to my kid at the time, and we had to pause and discuss, of course, for a while. But, you know, at first I thought it seemed a little light, but, you know, the more you look at it, the more you think about Burnes obviously was going to be gone after this year. He's not coming back. He did have a little bit of decline the last couple seasons. You're talking about getting guys that are going to be around for 5-6 years, hopefully, and talented guys that can impact you now. It's a solid move. It's a strong move, and it kind of had to be done. Again, at some point you felt like, again, this offseason, all right, they're just going to stick to it. They're not necessarily going all in, but they brought in Hoskins. They still have a good core of guys. They'll try to win this year, and they'll take the draft pick the following season for Burnes leaving. But instead, they pulled the trigger. They got a couple guys they really like, and, you know, especially I think with Hall, getting him into their pitching lab, I think they can do a lot more things than Baltimore has done with them in the past.
Talking with Tim Mumma of Brewer Fanatic. Follow Tim on Twitter at Tim_Mumma as we do it from the Wendy's studio. Calling all Baconator fans. Didn't think the Baconator could get any more iconic. Wendy's just proved not wrong. For a limited time, try Wendy's new Pretzel Baconator. It's the classic you love with 6 strips of crispy applewood smoked bacon, and now with a new pretzel bun. When you need something supremely iconic, the Pretzel Baconator is there. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. All right, so DL Hall is a flamethrower. Throws it fast like Mizorowski, one of the Brewers' prospects, but like Mizorowski, can't seem to have all that much control. Therefore, the Orioles had him pitching out of the Major League bullpen in Baltimore. It sounds like, according to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, he was on foul territory, that they're going to slot him into the rotation and see if they can figure this out. And I forgot where I saw it, but somebody made the reference of, look, if Mizorowski and Hall can figure out their control with as hard as they throw, that's going to be a heck of a front of a rotation if they both figure it out, throwing as hard as they do. Then it just comes down to whether or not, you know, we think these Brewer pitching labs and Brewers pitching coaches can figure these guys out. And I know there are a lot of people that think if anybody can figure something like this out, it's the Brewers because of their success rate in the past.
And I think that plays a big role into how this trade gets viewed this year and even in a couple of years, is can Hall be a starter? And if he's not, it's not the end of the world if they turn him into, you know, the younger version of Josh Hader, where you're talking about a weapon out of the bullpen, couple innings at a time. You know, that's extremely valuable, especially in today's game where most starting pitchers aren't going, you know, more than 6 innings tops. But, you know, Baltimore traditionally and even in recent years, not seen as a good place that develops pitchers. And obviously, you just mentioned the Brewers have had a whole lot of success, great reputation for that. So there's definitely some things they're going to work with. You know, I think with Hall, I don't want to say he's older, but he's 25, I think. And I know he was drafted like 2017. So he's been around a while and hasn't really hit anywhere close to his peak. So that's where the Brewers come in. And I think, you know, anytime it comes to a trade, sometimes you're looking at it from how can we handle this guy versus somebody else. So even though I might have liked some more security or a guy that really seems almost more can't miss, they see Hall as a, you know, having a huge upside and that they can unlock that potential that Baltimore never had a chance to. And then all of a sudden, like you said, if you get him in the rotation, you get a guy like Mizorowski in the rotation, you know, looking at Gasser, Rodriguez, you know, you're building that young rotation again. That's just, you know, fire, and you build around those guys.
you know, that's the other thing too, because if you don't trade Corbin Burns and you say, okay, we're going to play it out, we think we can win the division, and a lot of people thought the Brewers could win the division, fine.
Oh, but yeah.
Now you get to the playoffs, you don't go to the World Series, and now you lose Burns and Adames for a pick. Now, the pick you've got back for Burns is probably relatively close to where their pick they're getting, 34, mm-hmm. would have been. So you get that pick, but you also get two potential impact players possibly with this team. And that's why, even if they don't work out, even if it doesn't work, I still think Matt Arnold did the right thing in doing this.
Yeah, push comes to shove. It is. I mean, early in the offseason, I was pushing for it. Heck, I would have been fine with them dealing Burns the previous offseason, because in theory, you get more for him and you sort of start that process quicker and you still have Woodruff healthy and everything. But this is the way it's got to work for a team that's, if you want to call it small market, call it mid-market. They're not going to be able to pay the top dollar for a bunch of guys. They might choose one like they have in Braun and Yelich, and then they roll the dice with that. They're going to make some of these more deals, I think, like they did with Churio, and locking them up long-term and really believing in their scouting and development with their young guys. And they're going to go that route, and they're going to have to cycle through guys. And it's always been that way with Milwaukee. The only difference is the Brewers have had success doing it the last 5-6 years. So it's like a little frustrating. There's so many people that get really mad about these moves now when, like you said, it makes sense in the long-term. It's probably the right move. And I know they haven't gotten to the World Series, and that's frustrating, and you'd love for them to push, quote-unquote, all in at some point. And maybe that comes in the next 3-4 years when they feel they have a lineup that's loaded and they go make a move like they did for Sabathia or something similar. I don't think they'll ever make quite a move like that again. And then just repeat that cycle. And I know the Rays are obviously a great example of a similar idea. They haven't won a World Series, but they've been to two of them. And, you know, as much as it stinks that the Dodgers have all that money, part of the reason they've been so successful is they've used those assets, the money they have, to acquire top prospects. And they draft extremely well, and they develop. So it's really a huge part of baseball now. And you'll see that even from the fact that Burns only, quote unquote, only got two prospects who weren't necessarily the top guys in the Orioles system. You know, teams are less willing to give up those young guys and that team control. So the fact that they're able to do this again and hopefully turn these guys into, if not everyday major leaguers or even a, you know, 1 or 2 time all-star, at least they're contributing to the club now and in the future. And then you keep that building process. And again, you can't argue with the success over the last 5-6 years, at least in terms of postseason, competitive in the division. And, you know, at least in the early part of this run, giving yourself a shot at the World Series.
I really want to know what changed. Because according to Rosenthal, this has been going on since December. And now all of a sudden the Brewers decided that they wanted to do the deal with Baltimore. So something obviously changed. Somebody's mind changed in that front office or ownership that said, you know what, this is the right thing to do. To hell with it. Just go make, let's go do it. But now, to me, if you're going to do that, which they did, Willy Adames has to go too. You cannot roll the dice going into the season and hope he plays well or hope he doesn't get hurt, and then you're stuck and you get nothing but a pick going into, you know, next year, when a team like the Giants seems like an absolute perfect fit for a Willy Adames right now and for you to get something out of it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, for sure, the Giants seem like the perfect spot, like you said. And I saw they just traded Stripling to the A's, so maybe clearing up some space. Of course, they're looking at some of the free agents as well. You know, I feel like Adames is not quite the slam dunk that Burns would be with the trade, only because, you know, some people might think the return on Burns was light. Well, Adames' return is going to be smaller than that, partly because of position, partly because of, you know, he's had his ups and downs the last couple of seasons.
You just ask for a bunch of young guys that are at rookie ball or A ball and hope you hit one. That's what I would do.
Well, and I guess if you do that, then you might as well, I guess, admit to a rebuild. And I'm not saying a full teardown, but I don't think you're winning anything next year. I mean, there's a path in my mind. Maybe I'm just too optimistic.
Yes.
That if you keep Adames and you know, figure out which young guys are fitting in here, you know, is Ortiz coming over and he's going to play second and third for you, and Tyler Black's going to be moving around the infield. And then you have your elite bullpen, which I know now there's talk, well, they're open to dealing Devin Williams as well. So if you go that route again, then you're really trying to bring in the young group. But I mean, there's a path to the postseason next year if you want to keep that going. I don't think you'd be a World Series team, obviously not with the rotation that they'll have out there. But you know, at this point, I think everything is on the table. I mean, we always felt that way coming this offseason, but now with Burns being that big piece, maybe the Giants get desperate and offer a guy or two that the Brewers are really interested in, and then you just go with all the young guys, let them develop, you know, whether it's a little ugly early in the season or the whole year, and you just kind of figure out who's going to make it work come 2025 and beyond.
Rhys Hoskins has to be pissed. You got to think.
Yeah,
he's got to be going, what is this? Like, y'all, what are we doing here? I didn't sign here to be a part of a rebuild. But now if you're the Brewers, because of that deal, which isn't horrible, now if Hoskins has a big first half, you can move him and get some prospects in return and really flip that around as well.
Well, and that's where you mentioned, you know, the Rosenthal thing where they said they've been talking since December, and in his, you know, conversations, it was the Brewers that were hesitant or not ready to pull the trigger yet. You know, again, whether that's true or not, who knows? Was it because they didn't want to appear that they were, you know, sort of rebuilding and they couldn't get a guy like Hoskins because they did want to bring in somebody for first base? Who knows what their thinking was there? But yeah, that was honestly one of my first thoughts after sort of just, you know, thinking about the trade a little bit is, man, what? So you brought Hoskins in and he had to believe that, hey, this is defending Central Division champs. We still have most of the guys back. It's a good spot for me. And then if I leave after 1 year and I get paid again, it seemed like a perfect fit for him. Now, yeah, who knows? I guess from his point of view, he's kind of an unknown because he had the, you know, obviously the ACL injury and he's been out a year. So to your point, he has a huge first half. If the Brewers aren't in contention, you know, I don't know that he has any trade exemptions or able to decline any trades, but that would certainly open up another market for the Brewers to go ahead and find some more prospects or young guys that they're really happy with.
Explains how you can afford Rhys Hoskins when you're going to trade Corbin Burns. Now it all makes sense. But see, that's the thing. So if you trade Willy Adames next and you get prospects back or young players, couldn't you then afford to sign another veteran free agent pitcher to put him towards the top of the rotation to try and, quote, still compete, I guess, at the end of the day?
I mean, I still think you could do that now. I think from what I saw, projections for their payroll would be like $102 million.
Oh, I saw 92, people... so that's better than I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. They definitely could do that now. I mean, there's not, obviously, you're not going to the top of the market with Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery, but there are some veteran guys that the Brewers, of course, I mean, look, they turned Julio Teheran into a solid major league starter for a few months last year. So, I mean, they make it work. And again, with their elite bullpen and depending on who they put back there, they might just be looking, hey, other than Freddie Peralta, let's get four or five innings out of our guys and then just use the bullpen every night. We got multiple inning guys. We got different types of throwers. We got guys with options we can filter up and down. And they just go that route and see what happens. You know, and they also still have trade chips if they really were looking to bring in some sort of veteran who has a little bit more cost to them that they're thinking, well, maybe not for this year, but for next year or 2 years down the road, you know, he's still going to help our team. I mean, they still have a lot of options, but it really is curious because, yeah, if they were to trade Adames, now you're talking their payroll gets pretty low. And not that that is everything, but you know it's not going to sit well with the fans that you've had all the success. Fans come, you know, in droves in considering the size of Milwaukee and the area. And now you're sort of dumping all this salary and nobody's really going to know what you're going to have as far as the talent goes for a year, 2 years, 3 years, even more, depending on who you bring back. So, you know, I'd hate to see it get ugly like that, but if they have a plan and they believe in guys, it's the same thing I said with Chirio. If you target a guy, you believe in him, go all in for him, win or lose. And you have to believe in that. Cause if you kind of play it, you know, where you're uncertain and you're trying to play all sides of it, I just feel like that never works out.
I mean, think about it. That infield then is Hoskins, Ortiz at second, Terang at short. And if you think Tyler Black can do it, he's at third base or Monasterio or that other guy that they had the spring training invite on, Arroyo, is that who it was? So maybe it's him at third base, your young outfielders, Yelich is your DH. But that also then leads to the next thing of how much longer is William Contreras going to be here, depending on, because he's got a stud catcher behind him right now sitting there at AAA. And you could get far more than what they got for Contreras if the Brewers decided to trade Contreras with a ton of control under him.
Well, now I feel like you're playing like a game of like a simulation computer game where you just gutting everybody just to get every single prospect.
I'm doing it the Packer way, though, right? I mean, if you look at the Packers, that's what they did. They said on offense, to hell with it. We're just going to play young, and they're going to learn on the job. And I feel like the Brewers are close to maybe being able to do that and actually make it work. Look, Mitchell doesn't suck. I we don't know about Churio, but I'm pretty confident saying he doesn't suck. I think Frelick will be fine at the top of the order when he gets that opportunity at some point. Joey Weimer probably starts in AAA is my guess, and trying to fix that swing of his that they've been working on this offseason. And then the infield, yeah, if you lose Adames, you don't have a lot of power on the infield outside of Hoskins. But overall, offensively, I feel like they'll be okay offensively, even if they maybe move on from Adames.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I just think when you're talking catching, it's very much like pitching. You can't get enough of it. And obviously, Contreras is under control for at least four more seasons,
yeah,
I think.
Three years.
For sure, maybe
yep.
Four. Yeah, so I don't think there's any urgency with that. I mean, I don't know if he's the type of guy that would complain about what's happening and all that stuff. But, you know, you talk about even if you didn't trade Adames this year, he just comes off the books next season. That frees up money if you do want to do something with Contreras to extend him and all. And I understand you have Cuero behind him, no guarantee ever, but the way the game is played today anyway, you need a second catcher more than ever in the past. Guys aren't going to catch 150 games a year. And then you can use Contreras as a DH when you're not using Yelich. I mean, obviously the Brewers have always loved flexibility, whether it's versatility with positions or being able to move guys in and out of the lineup. I know that drives some people crazy, but it's really, for the most part, the way the game is played with most teams. Of course, you have some clubs that they have their stalwarts that stay in the lineup and they stay in their spot in the batting order. But I do agree with you. There's kind of a dynamic aspect to the Brewers lineup and potential lineup with the young guys, with the potential they have. As you said, power might be lacking, but I'm happy to have guys if they're a little bit better on base, better base runners, and then you hope the power comes, because even when the Brewers have had some powerful teams, sometimes it doesn't show up when you need it most, and then you're kind of stuck. So it's an exciting time in the sense that you have a lot of young guys, and I mean talented, well-regarded young players. You know, I kind of have to talk both my kids down off the ledge a little bit, because they're 18 and 14. So all they've ever really known is success with Brewers, Bucks,
yep.
Packers.
Lucky.
So they don't really get this, that you got to sometimes take a little step back to go forward. If that happens, again, there's still time in the offseason and spring training. Who knows what Arnold has in mind. But again, if you look at the track record, as much as it stinks, you're not paying a bunch of guys a bunch of money for a bunch of years. So this is going to be the strategy, and you got to trust your player development guys and your scouting guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. He is Tim Mumma. Follow him at Tim_Mumma, Brewer_Fanatic on Twitter as well. And as always, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. And after they trade Willy Adames, we'll do it again.
Sounds good, Sparky. Always a pleasure.